Hello everyone, I'm Gaurav Doshi.
And I'm Mary David.
And we are here to present to you an overview of all the sharing experience improvements that we have made in SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint Online 2013. Since yesterday, there have been many talks where you've seen sharing experiences. Jeff Tipper showed it off in his keynote, how easy it is to share in SharePoint now. There was a talk yesterday on SkyDrive Pro where Richard showed off how easy it is to share documents from SkyDrive Pro. There were a couple of talks in the morning today where sharing experiences were discussed as well. But none of these talks actually showed all the experiences together in one presentation. Also, definitely none of these talks went into details of how all this works and what it does to your permissions and how you can actually control it. So that's exactly what we are going to do here. Moving on.
So today's talk really breaks into two sections. First, we'll give you an overview by just demoing to you what the new sharing experience looks like in the new SharePoint. This will also cover our external sharing features and some administrator controls for controlling the external sharing features. The second half of the talk is going to go into a more technical deep dive into how these features work and what you can do with them. We're really excited to share with you all the different sharing features. We put a lot of work into it. We think you're really going to like it. But we do have a lot to cover, so if you have any questions, just save them till the end. We've left some time so we can review them then. Also, we have our, if you want to just tweet, we have a hashtag, so you can just do SPC183, which is this talk. Just put your questions, comments, feedback there, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. At the end, we'd really appreciate it, too, if you'd fill out those surveys. It's good feedback for us.
So before we jump into the demos, I want to take a step back and go over the broad vision that we had for sharing experiences in SharePoint 2013. First of all, we wanted to make sharing really, really easy. Now, let me ask a quick question here. When you think about SharePoint permissions, what is the first word that comes to your mind?
Painful.
Terrible, painful. What else?
Side
actions, frustrating, okay? These are typical answers that we get. Complex, confusing, terrible, horrible, all these kind of things. On the other hand, we also hear powerful and flexible, which I didn't hear here, but anyways. So sharing permissions in SharePoint are really powerful and flexible, but as a result, they're also very complex and confusing. We have heard this from our customers time and again that their normal information workers find it really hard to understand permissions and to share in SharePoint. It's kind of obvious. There are so many concepts involved here. There is permission inheritance, permission groups, permission levels. It's really hard for an information worker to understand all this. So we decided to solve this problem. We decided to abstract away from all these complex concepts and provide an experience that is really easy for anyone to understand. It's always available. It's really fast. And, you know, everyone, any normal information worker will feel confident about sharing in SharePoint. You're going to see this experience in the demo in a minute. I hope you appreciate the simplicity that we have brought to the experience. So secondly, the second vision pillar that we had was, well, making it possible to share with anyone. Most of you would know it's really, really hard. Well, it was really, really hard in SharePoint to share with external users. Back in SharePoint Online 2010, we started working on this problem, and we had some rudimentary initial investments in this area. In SharePoint Online 2010, it was possible to share with external users. You could share a site with external users in then. But it was, again, really hard to use. Information workers couldn't quite figure it out. Well, but we took that, and we took that as a starting point, and we started working on it. We made that experience much, much easier. And now we also heard from other customers that there are cases when they want to share just documents and not entire sites. So we extended the experiences that we had for site sharing, and now in SharePoint Online 2013, you can share sites with external users as well as you can share documents with external users. So we're going to look at the experiences. We'll do a demo of it. We'll also look at the management controls, how you can manage external sharing. We'll also talk about all this in technical deep dive. Third, share responsibly. As we made external sharing easy, it was kind of obvious that we had to invest in making it more manageable and controllable. So we have invested heavily into this area as well. We want all of you to feel really comfortable and confident with the external sharing features. They are secure, and we want you to understand how secure they are. So, well, we'll talk about all the management controls that we have, and we'll talk about how the security, what are the security validations that we have built into the product so that you feel comfortable about it.
So let's see what this actually looks like in SharePoint. I think the easiest way is just walk through, you through a demo and show you what it feels like. So I'll switch over here. So let's put on our user hat for a second. Let's just say I'm planning a conference, a big conference. It's for a lot of people. It's in an exciting place. And I want to get other people working on a team site with me, collaborating on some documents about organizing the venue, registering participants, and all of that. So I've created a conference planning team site, which is great. It looks nice right out of the box. I've added some documents here. But it's really useless if it's just me on this site. So we'll go ahead and share it. So you can see right at the top in these quick access toolbar, you'll see the command for share. And we wanted to always make it easy to share a site. So share, if you have the permissions to share the site, it'll be right there at the top. Now you click share. I want to share it with Robin, who's on my team. So I'll just go ahead and type in her name. And she'll show up right here. So I'm going to select that and share. And just like that, I've shared my team site with Robin. She's a member. She can come in here. She can post to the news feed. She can access documents. And she can do all of those things. Now, I don't know if anyone was counting, but that was 3 clicks. Click to share, click to type in the name, and click to confirm when you've typed in the name. I mean, that's it. It's really that easy for the user. And it's right up at the top. So if that was too fast for you, let's go back, slow it down, and show you what actually that looks like if you want to do some other things. So we'll go ahead and click share. And you'll see right at the top of this dialog, we give you a little sharing hint that says this is shared with other people. So you can see a few names, and we've listed that there are actually 4 more people that don't fit in this space, so I'll click that. And this pulls up our shared with dialog. This dialog is super helpful because it shows you everyone that this is shared with. It also gives you a couple other commands here. So if you want to get back and invite more people, you can invite more people by clicking the command right at the bottom, and that'll bring you back to the sharing dialog we just came from. If you wanted to just remind people to check out the site again and you didn't necessarily need to give them permissions again, you can choose to email everyone. Now, I'm actually an administrator on this site, so I get a third option that most people won't see, and that's the option to go to advanced permissions. So those of you SharePoint experts who've been working with SharePoint for a long time and are familiar with our advanced permissions UI, you can always get back to it just by clicking that. But we'll jump back right back to the sharing dialog, so I'll go ahead and invite more people. And I'll go ahead and start typing in names. So let's invite Lionel Robinson. So his last name is Robin. So I'll start typing. And you'll see as I start typing, right at the top, Robin Miller showed up. And that's because I'd already selected Robin. And so that's cached. This is our brand new client people picker. We're really proud of it. It shows you results for the people that you've selected most frequently, or most recently. And so if you're sharing with the same group of people over and over again, they'll just pop right to the top. Now, you notice this doesn't have the check names, check address book. And we think the UI is actually so simple, we don't need that anymore, because we actually show you the suggestions, the query results, right underneath all those cache names. So you'll see here I have Lionel Robinson, Rob Young, because that starts with Rob, Robin Counson, and other people who match that. So I'll go ahead and pick Lionel. And there's a couple other options I can do here. I could type a personal message. If I expand the options, I can see that I can actually choose not to send an email if I just wanted to grant Lionel permissions and not actually send him an email. So I can uncheck that if I want. The last thing that you can do here is you can actually choose what group you want to add the person to. So here I'll just person or people. Here you can see I can give him owner permissions or make him a visitor. But I'm okay with making him a member of the site so he can actually participate. And that's all it takes. You can just click share and it's shared. So we really, really wanted to simplify what this felt like for the user. And we've actually done the same thing with documents. So I'll go ahead and open my SkyDrive Pro. And here's where I'm storing all my documents. I'm continuing to work on the conference. And I have actually a status meeting agenda right here that I want to share. Now, SkyDrive Pro is a little bit different from other libraries because it's specific to you. So this is my SkyDrive Pro. And all the documents here are private to me until I share them out. So it's really, really important to make sure people know who the documents are shared with. So in this, we've actually added just a little hint right here so you can see which documents you've shared and which ones you've kept private to you so you really have the confidence that you know who something's shared with. And if you go ahead and click that, you'll get the shared with dialog that brings you the whole list of everyone that your document is shared with. You can also, so I could share from there. I can also just open the call out. And the call out gives you a rich preview of your document, gives you some other information, including the sharing hint. And it gives me the option to share. So I'll just go ahead and share. And you'll see that this brings up the dialogue, very similar to what we just saw. So you have the sharing hint up at the top. And you also have the client people picker here, so I can go ahead and type in another name. Maybe I want to share this one with Robin again. And so she'll just pop up right to the top there. And then something that's different for this is that you actually have two options for what permissions I give Robin. So you can choose to give her edit. So I could choose to give her edit permissions, or I can choose to give her view permissions. So I trust Robin. She's a member of my team, so I'm just going to give her edit permissions. And the last thing here that you'll see is a little different is there's a require sign-in button right at the bottom. You know, we're going to go ahead and talk about that later. That deals with our anonymous guest link feature that's part of our external sharing features. And all you have to do is just share, and it'll go ahead and share the document. She'll get an email that says that she has access to the document, and she'll get a link back to the document. Just like if you shared a site, you'll get an email letting you know you have access to the site and giving you a link there. So this is how we've really simplified how we share documents and sites with people. But we also noticed that sometimes people forget to share things that they mean to share with their teammates. And we really wanted people to be able to access the content, the sites, the documents that they wanted, even if the person forgot to give them permissions. So the next thing we'll go into is what that looks like. If maybe I've emailed Gaurav the link to the site, but I haven't actually given him permission.
So here's my Outlook. Mary has sent me a link to the site. Where is the link? Not this one. Don't have the link. Okay, all right, good. Anyways, I know the site. So is it demo spc.sharepoint.com conference?
Site/conference.
So imagine that this was a site that Mary had sent me a link to. Happens very typically. People send each other links in email or IM, and they forget to give access. Oh, come on. So this won't happen in your case, but well, I have to sign in here.
So our access request feature is really great because if you remember back in previous releases of SharePoint, you would go to the site that you wanted to get to, and you would just get this roadblock of, sorry, you don't have access. So we wanted to give you that opportunity to request it right here.
So imagine, forget the sign-in that I had to do. That's just a demo bug. But in general, someone sends you an email or IM with a link, and you click on the link, and you have access denied. Now, in previous versions of SharePoint, you would be just stuck there. Like, there was nothing much you could do. Yes, you could find out the admin, and you could email him, and you could follow up. But all of that will happen outside of SharePoint. Now, in this case, it's much different. You can actually request access right here. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to just request access by typing in a message. I mean, whatever. And I send a request. Now, let's see what happens on Mary's side. So she is the admin. I was the one who was requesting access. So let's see what happens on Mary's side.
So if I pull up my site, you can always get to that list of the shared with just by going to your site settings and going to, site actions and going to shared with. And so that pulls up the list. And you'll see this time I actually have a notification right at the top that there are some pending requests. So I can go ahead and view those requests. This will bring up the full list of people who are accessing requests to the site. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I don't really want to go and check that site every single time. But we'll actually send you an email notification right here that will give you access to the site, to the list of access requests. So if I wanted to give him access, I can go ahead, open up. I can see that Gaurav requested access. And shoot, I forgot to give him access, but it's totally fine, so I'll just go ahead and approve that. And now this should send him a link that lets him know that he has access to the site, just as if I had gone ahead and shared the site with him.
All right, so now let me try to access that site again. Well, as Mary mentioned, she's already given me access, and I'm inside the site. I'm just a site member at this point. I can do everything that any member can do on the site. Now, I see this document there. It's called Speaker Schedule. I'm really interested in this document, so I'm going to open it. As you would expect, it opens in Office Web Apps. And one great thing here is there's a share button right at the top. So whether it's a Word document, PowerPoint document, Excel document, when the document opens in Office Web Apps, there's always a share button at the top. You can always share from Office Web Apps. So let me just do that. I'll click on share, and again, the same UI, the UI that users are already familiar with for sharing in SharePoint, the same UI sharing dialog shows up. So now let me go ahead and share this with Janet. She is a product marketing manager. She really needs to know the speaker schedule, so I'm going to go ahead and share it.
Now, the really interesting thing about this is that if you remember back when I granted Gaurav permissions, I actually gave him edit permissions as a member. So I actually didn't give him permissions to share out, to actually grant permissions to other people. So before, he wouldn't have been able to do that. But now what will happen is I'll get an email that lets me know that he wants to give access to the document to Janet. So you can always see all of your access requests just by going to shared with. And I can view the request here. And again, this will take me to the access requests page. And just like before, I'll see that Janet's requesting access. She actually is requesting it for this document. And just like before, I can just go ahead and approve it.
Okay. Go back to slides.
So we make it really simple for people to get access to the documents that they want, no matter where they are. So we've made sharing very simple. All they have to do is click share, and they can share it. With access requests, we've removed the roadblock, so if people want to share, they can share it even if they don't have permissions, and the right people will be notified. They'll get the email that lets them know to go back and grant permission. And the final thing is that sharing is always at your fingertips, so you can share a document right from the UI, from SkyDrive Pro, from a document library, and you can share a site just by clicking that action right at the top. You can also, as you saw Gaurav do, you can share directly from the Office web apps. There's just the quick share button, and it'll pop up the dialog. And actually, if you were to open up your Office client, open up Excel, you can see that you can share right from there. So that's how we've made sharing simple. But what about the people that we forgot about, all the people that aren't in your organization? We heard from a lot of our customers that they really wanted to share with people a vendor that they were working with, and it just was difficult. And so we've invested heavily in giving you the ability to share with other people. So I think the easiest way to show you how to share externally with people not in your organization is to just show you what that looks like. So I'll go ahead and go back to the site. Now, if I want to share, for the user, it's still the exact same gesture that you had before. So you just click share. And this time, I'm working on my conference, and we're trying to publish a big website. And so my company has contracted with Armando's company. Armando's my webmaster, and he's going to build a website. So I want to give him access to all of the site information that's here. So I can just go ahead and type in Armando's email. And you can type in any external email here. So right now, I'll type in Armando's email. And you'll notice because external sharing is enabled on this site collection, we can resolve the external email address in the People Picker. And I'll go ahead and just share this. And so what this does is it allows Armando to access the site as a member, just like any other member. Once he jumps into that site, he can go ahead and do anything that any other member could do in that site. All he has to do is log in with his Office 365 credentials or with a Microsoft account. And it will work fine. And I have a little confirmation here that I've shared it with external users. So what does that look like from Armando's perspective? He'll open up his email. He'll get a link that shares the site, and he can just go to it.
How do I get that?
Now, if I wanted to just share, perhaps I wanted to just share.
That's why. Sorry. So let me go to Armando's Outlook. And here I am. Mary shared the site with me. I have an email waiting for me here. It's nicely branded with Office 365. I can click on the link right here. And let's see what happens. It's going to ask me to sign in. It will give me two choices. I can sign in either using Microsoft account or I can sign in using Microsoft account, or I can sign in using an organizational account, Office 365 account. Now, in this case, it just took my organizational account because I was already signed in the browser, and just took me in. Generally, if you're a new user coming for the first time through an invitation, you will get a screen that shows you two options. You will see a choice between Microsoft account and organizational account. You select the identity provider that you want to use, sign in, and that's when you get redirected to the site in this case. So now, let me actually try to demo this still, because I want to. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Just switch back.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Let me actually try to do this and start another in private browsing session. It's still going to take me in.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and jump. So this gave you an example of how you log in as an external user, and you actually have to authenticate. So you have to create an Office 365 account or a Microsoft account to log in. But we also heard from a lot of users that they just wanted to share a document, and it didn't really matter like who had access. They just wanted to be able to send a link around and have it work. And so in this release, we've introduced a way that you can do that. So here I am back at my SkyDrive Pro with all my documents, and I really want to share this conference agenda. I want to have Armando just post it to his website, our website, for the conference, and have anyone be able to click it and open with no access request or anything blocking permissions. So I can go ahead and just share it again. This time I'll just type Armando's email again, so he'll get the link to it. And I can go ahead and resolve it again because external sharing is enabled. And now the box that we ignored before, we're going to take a look at that, and that's require sign-in. So we're actually going to uncheck this box. Now you'll notice that I can create two kinds of links here. I can create a link that anyone can come to and they can edit a document, or I can create a link that anyone can come to and they can view a document. And you choose that by the options right here. So just because it's a little more fun, I'm just going to choose the edit link, and I'll go ahead and share. And just like before, this will send an email to Armando. He'll get the link to the document. Only this time, the link can be emailed around, and everyone will be able to just open the document and go right to editing this, in this case, because I created an edit link. I could have created a view link so that he can just send it around, and then guest users can just come and view the link. So if you ever want to see the link, you can actually just go right here. And you'll see that this is open to anyone with a guest link. So if I go ahead and click that, here's the guest link. And just to demo it to you, I'm really proud of you, actually, just a side note. Almost no one has their laptops open. I was sort of anticipating people would be using their laptops, but thank you for your full, undivided attention. Oh, and then I hear all
no
these
Wi-Fi.
Excuses.
Oh.
That hurts.
Anyone on Twitter on their phone?
Yeah, I do.
Are you on... Okay, let's try this out.
So we'll go ahead and copy this link. I've just gone ahead and pasted it in my Twitter account. You can always reach me. I'm Mary_MSFT. And I'll go ahead and add the hashtag so you guys can find this in case you aren't following me, which is SPC12 and this talk, which is SPC183. And I'll go ahead and just tweet that. And you can see that the link is posted. If you want to check it out, you can just check out the hashtags there.
Yeah, just click on the link if you have internet access.
I can just click on the link, and you can click on the link here too. And it just opens in the Office web apps. I can go ahead and edit it if I want, which is great. Now, it might not be impressive because you think I'm signed in, but if you look at the top, you'll see that I'm actually a guest contributor here, which means that anyone can do exactly this. You can go in here, and you can say, type in whatever you want here, and it'll just add it and save it. And you can do that anonymously. This also enables co-authoring with just like any other document that you save in SharePoint. Let's go ahead and
go to slides.
So with external sharing, we've now enabled two scenarios. One is that you can share documents and sites with people outside of your organization, and all they have to do is log in with their Office 365 or Microsoft account. We've also enabled the ability to share guest links, which enable users to reach the document, no signing in, no questions asked. And you can create two kinds of links there. You can create the edit links, and you can also just create the view links. And I should point out that these features are specific to SharePoint Online. So the external sharing here is a SharePoint Online feature. So how many of you are thinking, wow, all of this external sharing, this is going to be a lot to manage? Well, we've actually thought that. We heard that a lot from customers, that they wanted to enable external sharing, but they wanted to be confident that they knew who was sharing what. And so we've invested in some external sharing administrative features. So I'll go ahead and show you what that looks like. We'll just go ahead and pull up that conference site again. And now, because I'm an administrator, I actually will have this admin tab here, so I can go right into the SharePoint admin UI. For those of you familiar with the SKUs, this is a Office 365 enterprise SKU. So that means it'll give me a little more richness in terms of what I can control with the settings. We actually have two levels of settings for external sharing. One is at the organization level, and which means that you can enable external sharing for your company, or you can just blanket turn it off for the entire company. And there's actually three different settings you can have. So if you look right at the top here, you'll see the external sharing options. So we have the ability to just turn it off completely. We have the ability to just enable the external access. And external access is that authenticated external access. So you can share with someone outside of your company and they log in. And the last option is to enable both the external access with the authentication and the anonymous links, anonymous guest links, so that users can create links to documents and share those around. We've introduced also a hierarchy of controls here. So you can control this at the organization level, and you can also control this at the site collection level. So for those of you who are a little bit familiar with some of the external sharing that we had in previous releases of SharePoint Online, this is something that's new, and this is something we've really made because of the feedback that you gave us. So here, the administrator for your organization has complete control over which site collections actually enable external sharing. So in this case, for example, my conference site, maybe I want to share that externally, but maybe my company has another site collection, our game studio site collection, where we have some top secret games that we're working on and we don't want anyone to know about that. So you can actually control it at that level. So here I have my Contoso Game Studios site collection, and that one actually I don't want to allow anyone to share externally. So you can go ahead and select it, and again you'll see the same three options for enabling or disabling external sharing. Now that was the enterprise SKU, and so we've made it a little simpler for the Office 365 small business users. In this case, we didn't want those users to be overwhelmed with lots of different settings, because generally those users don't need quite so many settings. So here you'll just see one setting, it's at the organization level, and it controls both the guest link access and the external access, which is the authenticated external access features. So to summarize, we have Office 365 enterprise users. We have three different ways you can control it. You can disable it completely, you can also enable external access or external access with guest links. And you can control them at both the organization level and at the site collection level. By default, external access and guest links will be enabled at your organization level. It'll also be enabled for pre-created sites. But if you create a new site collection, we'll have that disabled, and you'll actually have to go ahead and go in and turn that on. For the Office 365 small business users, it's much simpler. So we have just one switch to control everything, and it's not available. You don't actually control it at the site collection level. It's just the organization level. By default, again, this will be enabled. Now, if you are an Office 365 enterprise user, we've introduced additional features for managing external access, and that's our PowerShell commands. So with PowerShell, you can see what external users are there, and you can also delete any external users that you don't want. So we've just introduced a couple other ways that you can control external access. So that's a very very broad overview of all the sharing features that we have in this release of SharePoint. But now let's take a deep dive and see how all those things work.
All right, so we're done with the demos now. It's time to get technical. So for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to give you a whirlwind tour of all the technology that drives all the features that you saw. We're going to go through the new people picker. We will look at site sharing and how that works. We'll look at document and folder sharing. We'll talk about how that works. We'll look at access requests and all the infrastructure that allows for this feature to work and all the settings that are required. We'll look at external sharing. I know many of you are really interested in understanding how external sharing works, so yeah, we're going to talk about that in detail. We'll talk about both external access, that is the authenticated version, and guest links, which are the anonymous links that we just demoed. Finally, we'll demo, well, not demo, but finally we'll talk about two more things, sharing web service and share with everyone. The web service is a web service that allows you to perform all these operations as a web service, so we'll talk about that. And finally, we'll talk about this sharing with everyone, where everyone is a special token that allows you to share broadly with everyone in your company. All right, so let's start. First thing, people picker. The new client people picker, as you saw, as you start typing, gives you suggestions. Now, it's really great. It's awesome. You don't really need the check name and address book functionality from before because we have suggestions. But you may ask, where do these suggestions come from? So they come from two sources. First, it's kind of obvious that people picker performs a search against all the claim providers that you have configured. So obviously, it gets results from there. Secondly, it actually keeps a local client local cache of people that you have shared recently. So if you share with the same people all the time, those people will always appear at the top in your suggestions. That's great if you work with the same people all the time. It's going to be really, really easy for you to share with them all the time. Another great thing about this people picker, it's really easy to add it to a page. So it's just a control. I'm not going to do a demo of how to add it to a page, but if you look up online SP client people picker, you will see documentation on how you can add it to a page. It's really easy. No check, it doesn't have the check name and address book functionality, as I mentioned earlier. We don't think you're going to need it because the suggestions kind of solve that problem. But if you have any scenarios that really, really require this functionality, the old people picker is still around in the product and you can still use it. It's supported. In terms of configurability, all the configurations that we had for old people picker still apply to the new one. So you can configure what claim providers it should search against. You can even configure kind of arcane things like this people picker should search only against site members and not against any claim provider. So that's possible. All of that still works with the new people picker. It also has some new configurations because it has some new functionality. So you can specify how many suggestions it should show. You can specify how much cache it should maintain and so on. And finally, as I mentioned, the old people picker is still around in the product. You can use it. It's supported and it still works fine. Now let's talk about site sharing. Mary demoed this in a little while ago, and you saw it's really, really easy. It's a couple of clicks and the site is shared. If you see the defaults, by default, the site is shared using the site members group. That is, when you share a site, the recipients are added to the site members group by default. Now, this is actually configurable. There's a property on SPWeb. It's called associated member group. And this property actually holds the value of site members group by default. That's why we pick that as the default. So when you create a site, associated member group says site members, so we pick that as a default. You can change that value. You can put a custom group that you've created in there, and we will take that as the default value. Other than that group, the rest of the groups are simply listed in alphabetical order. Now, a very important point here to note is we only show groups. We don't show permission levels. That's actually by design. And we really want you all to, we want all our customers to share sites using groups. We don't want users to be sharing sites using direct permission levels. It's an important point to note. I'm going to talk about why on the next slide. Just keep that thought in mind. In terms of permission inheritance, we don't do something great with site sharing. It's pretty simple. When you share a site, if the site is inheriting from some parent, then we simply add the users to the parent. So if you share a web that is inheriting from a site collection, when you share that web, the users actually get access to everything that is inheriting from that site collection. So we maintain permission inheritance, and that's how it works. Let's talk about document sharing. This is a little more interesting in terms of site permission inheritance and so on. So we're going to spend some time here. If you remember the dialog that Mary showed for document sharing, it has much more simplified options. It gives you just two choices, can edit and can view. Now, both of these are also configurable. Can edit maps to standard editor role definition ID and can view maps to standard reader role definition ID. Both of these are SPWeb properties. Both of these properties store permission bitmasks. So you can specify different bitmasks if you want, and that's what it'll pick up. In terms of permission inheritance, document sharing is a lot more interesting. We first check if the user has permissions on the document already. User, as in the recipient, already has permissions on the document. If the recipient has permissions, then, well, we don't have to do anything with permissions, so we simply send him an email notification and that's it. But if the recipient does not have permissions on the document, then we actually break permission inheritance on the document. We copy all the groups and permissions from the site onto the document, and then we grant this additional user, new user, direct permissions on the document. Once that is done, that is when we send an email notification to the guy. Now, you may ask, why do we do this? Why do we break inheritance? We spoke to a bunch of customers, and generally, when end users are sharing documents, they expect the document to be shared. They don't expect that the recipient gets access to everything in the site. So the only way for us to do that was to break inheritance and actually add the user to the document and not to the site. Now, you may ask, Well, how do you deal with all the drawbacks that come with permission inheritance? Well, first of all, we don't break inheritance all the time. I mentioned that we check if the user already has permissions on the document or not. So in general, typical team site cases, users have access to everything within the team site by virtue of permissions, by virtue of permission inheritance. So in that case, we don't really have to break inheritance because the user already has permissions. Only in cases where there's a team site, there's a document in the team site, and someone wants to share this document with someone outside the team site, that is when we think about permission inheritance breaking. And now, in this case, we copy all the groups on the site onto the document before we break inheritance. That ensures that whoever has access to the site continues to have access to the document. Now, this is why it is important that you use groups to share sites and not direct permission levels. Now, let's take a case. Let's say I share this document in this team site with someone outside. Permission inheritance got broken. We copied all the permission groups from the site onto the document, and everyone who's on the site has access to the document. Everything is great. But tomorrow, one of the admins goes and shares the site directly with the permission level with someone. Well, that new person is not going to get access to the document. And if you don't want to get into this state, you should always use the site sharing dialog the way it is designed. Use it with the groups in it. So always share using groups. That will make sure that you're always in good state and people will continue to have good permissions. Folder sharing, let me just mention this. We didn't really demo this, but folder sharing just works like document sharing. So when you share a folder, if the recipient does not have permissions, we will break inheritance in the folder and we will grant permissions to the user on the folder. It's obvious all the children of the folder already inherit permissions in the folder, so even if it's a nested folder hierarchy, all the children in the folder will get shared when the folder gets shared. Now let's talk about access requests. There are two scenarios where access requests come in handy. First is the obvious one. A user lands on a page or a site or a document and he doesn't have permissions. Well, he gets access denied, and there's an access request and the whole workflow happens. The second one is when a user who does not have managed permissions tries to share a site or a document with someone who does not have permissions to that document or site yet. We'll talk about both of them with a flowchart on the next slide. But let's just talk about what access requests actually require in terms of enabling it. So there are two settings involved here. First of all, we need outgoing email to be enabled at the farm level. Now, this setting is generally on. This setting is used by many, many features in SharePoint. Your alert emails, emails that you get from newsfeed, emails that you get from following, all of those emails use the outgoing email setting. So it's generally on. And if you're running in SharePoint online, we set it to be on at the farm level, so it's always on. The second setting involved is access request email. Now, this is a setting at the web level, and this actually stores the value of the email, which will receive all the access request notifications. By default, when we create a site, we set the value of email of the creator of the site in this value. So let's say I created a site, my email will go in this property. As a result, whenever someone requests access, I'm going to get an email. If you want to change it and if you want to set certain group to receive this email, you can create a DL and you can specify that in the property and it'll work fine. It's just an email value, that's it. The access request list, it's actually a SP list that is maintained in every uniquely permissioned web. So if the site collection, every site collection will have it at the root, but then if you have a web that is broken inheritance from the site collection, it'll have an access request list as well. The access request list stores a bunch of data. Every time whenever an access request gets created for either of the two cases, we create an entry in this list. And this list entry actually stores which resource is being accessed, which resource is the request for, who is requesting access, what time was the access request created, and all that. The admins can go in and act on this access request. Now, what does admin mean here? Anyone who is an associated owners group of the site has access to this list. Associated owners group is another SP web property. You can specify something, whichever custom group that you want there. By default, site owners group is the group that gets specified as associated owners group. So anyone who is in site owners group has access to access request list, and they can go and approve or decline requests. The last point is recipients are notified only when owners approve. This will be clear on the next slide. Let's look at both flowcharts. By the way, we're going to have lots of flowcharts. This is just one of them. So access denied. Pretty obvious. User lands on a page, gets access denied, request access. The email that was specified in the property will get an email asking for access. there'll be a link in the email that will directly launch the access request list. Admin can go to this list, decide on approve, whether he wants to approve it or decline it. He can decide on what permission he wants to grant this user. And when he does that, that is when the user gets notified by an email that he has access. He has a link in the email, click on it, that's it, done. And the second case is sharing without managed permissions. So let's say I'm a user who doesn't have managed permissions on this site, I'm just a member. Mary is the admin in this case. So let's say I share this site with you. I will be able to do that using the same sharing UI. At that point, access request will be generated and Mary will be notified that Gaurav is trying to share this site with a person. She will click on the link in the email, go to the access request list, decide whether she wants to allow that or not. At that point, once she approves it, the person will receive an email that the access request has been approved and you actually have access to the site. So that's how the whole thing works. This is one way in which we've removed the roadblock in people's way to share. It just makes it so easy. Let's talk about external access now. By external access, I mean authenticated guests, so people who have to sign in to get inside. First of all, let me emphasize that external access is only available in SharePoint Online. It is not available in on-prem deployments of SharePoint. So, let's let that be very clear. Now, who can invite? Only users who have managed permissions to a site or a document can invite external users to that document. Now, why did we do this? Well, we wanted you to feel really comfortable with the security aspect of this feature, so we decided to only allow people who have managed permissions to do this. These users who have such special permissions are generally owners or admins, so they are already in a good state to, they're already entrusted with the security of the content, so they are probably in a good place to decide on if they want to share this with external users. That's why it's only limited to manage people who have managed permissions. If a normal member tries to share with external users, the people picker actually doesn't resolve external emails, so it won't work at all. Invitation redemption. So this is a very important point. I'm going to spend some time here. When I invite someone external, the person gets an email, and there's a link in the email for accepting invitation. When the user clicks on it, there's sign in and all that happens. But let's say I share this with Mary. She's an external user, mary@gmail.com. And for whatever reason, she decides to not accept the invitation but forward that to Lionel. And Lionel decides to accept the invitation by clicking on the link. Because he's the first one to redeem the invitation, he will get access. And if Mary tries later to get access through that same invitation, she will not be able to get through. So we give access to the first person who redeems an invitation. Because we have this model where first person always gets the invitation, we also maintain history of who is redeeming invitation. So if you later on go to access request list, you'll actually see a list of all the invitations that were created in the site, who redeemed them. We actually get the email address of the user from Microsoft account or Office 365 account, and we put that in the access request history. At what point, at what time was it redeemed, and all of that information is maintained as history. In terms of access, if you share a site with external user, well, they have access to the site. They can do everything that a site member can do. They can participate in the site feed, they can upload documents, they can create lists, they can edit lists, everything that a site member can do. But if you share a document with external user, they only have access to the document. They do not have access to anything else in the site. They cannot navigate away from the document. They cannot go to the document library, they cannot go to the site. So it's pretty secure that way. If you're sharing a document, only document is being shared, nothing else is being shared. Now let's see how this actually works. Another flowchart. So external user is invited. At this point, we create an invitation, and it's stored in the access request list. We generate an email. This email has the link for invitation, and we send this email to the external user. Now, these emails are actually sent using a certified email provider. We do this to make sure that the emails actually land in users' inboxes and not in junk mail. So we actually use a certified email provider here. The user clicks on the link on the other side. He lands on a page that we've created. The page is called acceptinvitation.aspx. It's an anonymously accessible page in every SharePoint online site collection. Now, this page has a bunch of logic on it for security validation. So it does it checks a couple of things. It checks if the invitation URL that the user is coming through is actually a valid URL. So if someone makes up a URL that looks like this URL, it's not going to work. Secondly, it checks if external access is enabled on the site collection that we are talking about. If both of these are on, if both of these are right, then the user is asked to sign in. He's given choice to sign in using Microsoft account or Office 365 account, chooses one identity provider, goes in. We redirect the user to the identity provider sign-in page. Once the user is signed in, we get the auth tokens from the corresponding identity provider back to SharePoint. At this point, we verify if this user is the same user who accepted the invitation earlier. Now, obviously, this check is only in the case when the invitation is being redeemed the second time. If it is being redeemed the first time, this check doesn't exist. But if it is being redeemed the second time, then we actually check if the user who's coming through is the same user who actually accepted the invitation earlier. Otherwise, we'll throw him out. So if it's the first time case, then well, there's no, this check doesn't exist. We will simply add the user to the SharePoint Online's directory service. We will add the user to the site collections user info list. And then we will actually grant permissions to this user on the document or the site that's being shared. So, and finally, the user will be redirected to the site or document that's being shared with him. So it's a really evolved, long process, but it just works. So, you know, you don't have to worry about it at all. I want you to feel really comfortable about the security aspect of it. We have spent enormous amount of time thinking about all the possible threats, and we've done threat modeling, and, I mean, we've spent a lot of time thinking about all this. Just to reiterate the kind of security validations that we do before letting a user in, there are three things. We check if external access is enabled at the company level and at the site collection level. Then we check if the invitation URL itself is a valid URL. And then we check if it's the second time redemption, then we check if it is the same user who's coming in. If it is someone else trying to come in using the invitation, he's not gonna get in. So that's with the security validation. You should feel really comfortable that this is you know, well thought through and secure. Anyways, there are some features that don't work for external users. External users who sign in, as I mentioned, if a site is shared with them, they will be able to participate in site feeds, they'll be able to upload documents, create lists, edit lists, all of that. But they cannot participate in the overall news feed. They don't have a SkyDrive Pro. They don't have a Sites Hub, the sites page that we have showed earlier. They don't have site mailbox either. Now, these are by design. We've decided to keep these features away from external users because they are not really licensed users. Now let's talk about guest links. Again, let me emphasize that this feature is only available in SharePoint Online. This is not a feature available on-prem, so let's just keep that in mind. So who can create guest link? Again, the same security principle applies here. We decided to only allow users who have managed permissions on a document to be able to create guest links. If a user does not have managed permissions on a document, if he is not the owner of the document, he won't be able to create a guest link. Guest link redemption is much more easier. Whoever gets the link will be able to access the document. If the link is for view link, if it's a view link, the person who comes through the link will be able to view the document. If it's an edit link, the person who comes through will be able to edit the document. Simple as that. The document's always open in Office web apps, and if it's some other file type, if it's not an Office document file type, then it'll prompt for download. So if it's a .txt file or .wmv or video or something, it'll prompt for download, and then it'll open from your temporary internet files. In terms of access, only the document is being shared here. So the user only has access to the document and nothing else. So document opens in Office web apps. The user can see it in Office web app, edit it, view it, whatever permissions he has. But he cannot go to the document library. He cannot go to the site. So it's really only the document and that's it. Now let's look at how this works. Another flowchart. So user shares a document using edit or view link. As Mary showed you, you have a choice of can edit or can view, and you choose what you want to share. Now, depending on what permission you've selected, we actually create a hidden user in SharePoint. Now, user is really being roughly used here. It's not really a user. It's just a way to, it's the easiest way to explain this. So we actually create a hidden user, which is associated with this permission in this document that we're talking about. So for document A, for edit permission, there's a user. For document A, for view permission, there's a separate user. For document B, for edit permission, there'll be a third user. So these are hidden users. You will never see them in the system. You will never interact with them. But that's just, as I said, it's a concept. It's not real users that you have to worry about. Anyways, so this hidden users gets created, and they get, accordingly, they're given permissions on the document. And that's, at that point, we create this guest link. This guest link is now included in an email. Email is sent out. Again, we use the same certified email providers to ensure that emails land in people's inboxes and never go to junk mail. The guest clicks on this link. At this point, he is taken to a page that we've built. It's called guestaccess.aspx. It's another anonymously accessible page in every site collection. On this page, we have a bunch of logic to verify whether the guest link is valid and so on. So let me walk through those validations. First of all, we check if the guest link is enabled for that site collection and for the company. Secondly, we check the guest link that the user is coming through. Is it a valid link? Again, if someone's just made up a link to look like a guest link, it's not going to work. Then we check if the document that's being shared actually still exists. If someone's deleted the document, it's not going to work. Finally, if all the checks are fine, then the user impersonates this hidden user that we had created and will be redirected to the document. The document will open up in Office Web Apps, or it will prompt download if it's not an Office document. Because we are impersonating all the guest users using the same internal user, they all look the same as far as SharePoint is concerned. So Mary showed you in the demo that the user was identified as guest contributor. That's exactly what will happen for any of you who click on that link and come inside the site. We have sent you the link. Please click on it and you will see it for yourself. All of you all will be identified as guest contributors. In terms of security validations, again, you know, we have spent a lot of time thinking about the security of it. We have done threat modeling. A lot of effort has gone into all this. So we check for if the guest links are enabled at the site collection level, guest links are enabled at the tenancy company level. If both are fine, then we check if it's a valid link. There are two parts of this. First, as Mary showed, that you can actually disable a particular link. So you can go to the link and say, well, I want to kill this link. If you kill that link, that link's not going to work. So we check if this link is actually a live link or if it's a dead link. If it's a dead link, then we throw the user out. If not, the second thing that we check is this thing called a site secret. So there is a site secret that every site collection has. Again, something internal, you will never be able to see it or access it. That's by design because it's supposed to be secure. So when the URL that the user gets, the guest link URL, has some information about, it has a hash and it has a document ID and it has a permission, it has an indication of what permission this link is for. When the user comes through that link, we take the document ID, we take the permission, and we use the site secret to rehash that information. If the hash created matches the hash in the link, only then we allow the user to go in. So it's really secure. Again, no random user can create a link that looks like a guest link to come in. It's not possible. Finally, we check if the document exists. Well, yeah, if it does, then great. So that's how guest links work. Again, you should feel very comfortable that they're secure. We have thought a lot about the security part of it. Now, let's talk about this web service. We didn't quite demo this, but if you go to Office Client 2013, whether it's Word, PowerPoint, Excel, any of these, and you go to Backstage, you will see a UI for sharing. The UI is exactly the same as the SharePoint UI. You have the same sharing dialog, you have the same choices to can edit, can view, you have the same choice for require sign-in. Everything is the same. When you actually share using this dialog, this UI in Office Client, we actually use a web service to do sharing operations. So this web service allows you to do share documents with internal users. It allows you to share documents with external users. It allows you to create guest links. It allows you to see who all have permissions to this document, all of that. So it's really a great way for you to, if you're thinking about building apps, building client experiences where you want to share documents from SkyDrive Pro for some reason, well, this is a great way to do it. Let's be frank and let's talk about limitations as well. So we designed this web service for SkyDrive Pro primarily. So people who have managed permissions on a document can use the web service and do all these operations. But if you don't have managed permissions on the document, then you will not be able to do any of these operations through the web service. So let's say it's a document in Team site. You open it in Office Client. You will not be able to share that document if you are not one of the owners of the Team site. That's just a limitation. We are still working on it. We'll see how that goes. The last thing I wanted to talk about is this notion of everyone. Most of you are probably familiar with this concept of all authenticated users. This has existed in SharePoint forever. So now everyone is just a new name for all authenticated users, frankly. If you're running on-prem, as you start typing EVE in your people picker, you're going to get a suggestion that says everyone. If you select that, you'll be sharing that site or that document with everyone, all authenticated users in your company. If you're running in SharePoint Online, though, you get two suggestions. You see everyone, and you see everyone except external users. Now, why is that? Now, it turns out that in SharePoint Online, all the external users that you invited to your company from whatever sites, they all are actually authenticated to your company. So that means if you just share with everyone, they are all authenticated users. They will be a part of that. So if you have a scenario where you want to share this site with everyone inside your company, but you don't want any of the external users to get to it, then you can share using everyone except external users. If you are okay sharing the site with everyone in the company, including the external users, then well, you can just use the everyone claim and it'll work fine. Now, we've heard from a lot of users that it's a very common scenario for them to share documents with a broad set of people. They want to get feedback from everyone in the company or whatever. It's a very common thing for them to do. To simplify this, we've created a folder in your SkyDrive Pro. The folder is called Shared with Everyone. So as the name suggests, everything in the folder is shared with everyone. So as you upload a document inside, or if you just simply drag and drop, the document will be shared with everyone. Now, in on-prem scenarios, there's only one everyone. So when you put a document inside, it will be shared with all authenticated users in your company. In SharePoint Online scenario, if you put a document inside, it will be shared with everyone except external users. So we just wanted to make it secure enough so that you share it with everyone in your company, but external users don't get access to it. Let me be frank again, and let me talk about the limitations. There's no customization available for this. So these claims exist, and they show up in People Picker. You can't change the names for them. They are localized, so they will show up in corresponding languages, but you can't change the names for them otherwise. You cannot specify new everyone claims, or you cannot delete these users, or delete these claims. They will always exist. Sorry. So now, that's it. It was a long technical deep dive. Now let's just do a quick recap before I open up the floor for Q&A. So we looked at how we've made sharing easy. You looked at the UIs, you saw how sharing dialog is really easy to use. You saw the shared with dialog, it's always there. It tells you who a document or site is shared with. You also saw the people picker, it automatically gives you suggestions, makes it really easy to find people and share with them. We also have removed all the roadblocks that used to come in the way by the access request feature. So it's really, really easy now to share. We've also made it really easy to share with external user. We have external access and we have guest links. Both of them I've explained in detail, and I'm happy to take questions from you if you have any. Again, to emphasize, these features are only available in SharePoint Online. And third, we've added administrator controls so that you can control the external sharing operations at your company level or at site collection level. We have also provided you with PowerShell so that you can do some basic reporting on who are the external users in your company. You can delete external users and all that. So with that, I think we're done with the presentation. We're going to open up the floor for Q&A.
We actually have two microphones, so one on your left and one on your right. So if you could talk into the microphone, that way everyone can hear your question.
Please talk into the microphone so everyone here can hear the question, as well as they get recorded for the audience later on the presentation.
And just a reminder, while everyone's getting up for the questions, at the end of this session on your way out, Matt, who will be, he's in a blue shirt, will be standing right at the doors on your way out on your right. We'll have a questionnaire about some of the content. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about how to educate your users, he has a questionnaire for that. He's been working with us. It's been great working with him on that stuff. So you should stop by. He'll just be right back in that corner.
So we have exactly 16 minutes for Q&A, which is, I think, a good time. Go ahead.
I think we'll start on this side.
I have two questions. One is, does People Picker support Active Directory group? And my second question is, if everybody's sharing the same hidden user account, how can I remove or revoke a share link from one user and still keeping share link for other users?
Okay, so the first question was, can the People Picker resolve an Active Directory group? Yes, it can. It does a search against Active Directory claim provider if you have configured that, and it will resolve that. It will work fine. But the second question, guest links. Yes, you can kill a guest link completely. You cannot revoke a guest link for a particular user. There's only one guest link for edit, one guest link for view. So once you share it, everyone who has the link can come through. If you kill the link, no one can come through. There's no notion of link per user, so that's not possible.
So right here, you'll see on the screen that I have my guest link, and I can just go ahead and just remove it. So I'll just disable that link. If I wanted to go back and create another link, I guess it's been sitting here a little long time. If I wanted to go ahead and create another link, it will create a different link, a different new link. So you'll have to reshare that link out again.
Yeah. Say?
Hi, thank you. So a couple of quick questions. So aside from the external access and guest links, is there any other different major differences between on-prem 13 and Office 365?
So in terms of sharing, the answer is no. In terms of sharing, all the features that we showed work perfectly the same way on on-prem as well as SharePoint Online. So the sharing dialog is there, shared width is there, access requests are there, everyone claims are there, the web service works, all of that works on-prem as well as SharePoint Online. The external access is obviously doesn't work on-prem.
So if I'm on-prem, then I cannot put in the email address of somebody outside the organization. It just won't work.
Yes, it
won't. Okay. So the other question is, so let's say this new request access feature is awesome. So let's say now people share like 10 sites and 15 documents with me, right? And you know, some of them I request access, et cetera. Is there any one central location to go and see all these new things I have access to? For example, in Google Docs or Dropbox, when something's shared with you, it shows up at the root of your document hierarchy.
So currently, the answer is no. Currently, you get email whenever everything is shared, so you can go to email and find those links. I know that's not a great story. We are thinking about it, and we'll probably have some improvements coming up. Okay.
And then, one more real quick thing. So I know this is sort of a painful question, but can you give us any idea of what's the roadmap for this? Will it continue to evolve, kind of staring down the barrel of Yammer and their sharing model?
So tough question. I'll try to answer it in short. We're definitely looking at, we want to simplify sharing even further. We want to get to a point where, we are aligned with Yammer. So for example, in case of Yammer, when you create a new group, which is their representation of a site, it is open by default. And you simply have a choice between, do you want this to be open or do you want this to be private? So we really want to move towards that kind of a model, but we are far from it today. So I don't want to commit on the timeline, but we definitely want to align with Yammer when it comes to openness of content and security.
Well, it's nice stuff. Thank you.
There are three people here. Go on. All right, go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to know if with this very simple sharing, it's possible to keep track of the document I've been sharing in a team site. For example, I want to know which documents are shared with some people in the team site. I want to see all sharing I have. Is
okay,
possible?
So let me repeat your question. Tell me if
yes,
this is correct.
I can edit.
So your question is there a way for a team site owner and admin to see who all have this site shared with?
Yes.
Okay, so the shared with dialog that we demoed, it's always available, and you can always see who all have access to this site. Is that what you're looking for?
If I share, I don't know, three documents, I have to go on each three documents to see which document.
Oh, okay, so if you're talking about aggregation of who all these documents are shared with.
Exactly.
No, we don't really have a good way. You will have to go to each document and see who each document is shared with. Now, if you're talking about a team site, generally everyone has access to all the documents in a team site. So you can look at the team sites shared with and you will get your answer. But if you're looking at SkyDrive Pro, where each document has its individual permissions, then you'll have to go to each document and see it.
OK. And one other question. When I create a guest link, does it break inheritance?
Yes, it does.
And when I disable the break links, the guest link, does it restore the inheritance?
No, if you disable the link, the permission inheritance still remains broken.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you mentioned several times about the external sharing only be available on Office 365. Are there any plans in the roadmap to make that available on-premise?
There are two parts of external sharing. The external access part, which is authenticated guest users, requires trust relationships with Microsoft account and Microsoft organization ID. And that part is just never going to happen for on-prem, because you know each of you all will have to establish a trust relationship with these identity providers. That's not going to happen. The guest link part, it is possible for us to make that available on-prem. But last time when we checked with our customers, most of them in the advisory council, most of the people were really nervous with it. If we hear from customers that it's a really important feature, we can consider it. But currently, I wouldn't say it's on the plans.
What a lot of customers have done is for, if you want to share a document, so you have an on-premise deployment of SharePoint and you want to share anonymously, You kind of actually can do that within your company. So you can use the share with everyone. You can just choose a share back with everyone. And then anyone you email it to within your organization will be able to click it. And it's kind of by design that an on-premise SharePoint that we don't necessarily publish out things, publish out links for the document.
Yeah, so in the current iteration of the feature, if it was to work on-prem, let's say you created a link for a document, guest link for a document, and you sent it to your friend who's not in your company, it won't work for the user anyways because the link has your intranet's URL in it. Mm-hmm. So first of all, DNS needs to resolve it. It's not going to work. So it'll be an interesting feature for us to build if we really hear from customers. Currently, we don't really have that feedback.
Yeah, what we really heard from customers was that on SharePoint Online that they wanted the anonymous links, and on the on-prem they can just create the.
Yeah, they can share with everyone, it'll work for everyone inside the company. So. Mm-hmm.
When I see the share with functionality, does it also show the users who are already shared a meaning in the SharePoint groups, which have like access via the normal SharePoint groups, which we have also in SharePoint 2010? So does it only show the share with option when I did an extra share on that document or site?
So you can get to, so you're talking about how do you get to shared with for documents and sites if you don't want to share? Right then?
No. I mean, when I have a group which is like linked to an Active Directory group,
yeah.
Does it also show those people which are already have access to a site or a document?
Great question. Just to for everyone to understand, I think the question is, if a document or site is shared with an AD group, do we expand the group and show all the members of the group in shared with dialogue? Mm-hmm. We don't. We show the group as it is. We don't actually do a round trip to Active Directory to find all the members of the group. It's really difficult to do from a performance point of view, so we don't do it.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't see anything about customized permission levels. Is that possible in Office 365?
Yeah. Customizing permission levels, so you can go and change the definition of contribute or edit, or you can create a new permission level for your site collection. All of that is possible in SharePoint. So because SharePoint Online is just SharePoint, you can do all of that. Yes.
Thank you.
If we have a group of, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry. We'll start with this one. Yeah, that's my bad. I owe all these people.
If we have a group of documents, say three documents that we want to use a guest link feature for, do I need to spin up a guest link for each one of those and send them individually, or how would I do it, or create the links and put them all those links in a single email to the people?
You want to answer?
Yeah, so if you want to do the anonymous link actually creates it for the document.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you're asking is how you share a bunch of documents anonymously. And right now you would need to create guest links for each of those documents and then send those out.
Okay.
But yeah, you can collect all the guest links and put them in your
own
formatted email
and
send them.
Mm-hmm. One other thing, the external user access we've used, where we've challenged is that to a non-IT person or non-technical person, telling them to go create a Windows Live ID or associate it, you know, we've had a little bit of challenge in them actually, you know, understanding what they need to go do. Is there any suggestions on how to
so,
make that
easier?
So, first
of all, we know for sure that when we ask people to create a new ID or sign in using some identity, there's definitely a drop-off. People generally don't want to do that. And because we had this feedback, we decided to invest in guest links. So if you really want to share with people who are not going to create accounts, then, well, just use guest links.
Mm-hmm.
In cases where you really want the users to be authenticated because you want to know who is accessing your content and you want to keep track of it, then you want them to pay that additional tax of creating an account or signing in using an email address. In terms of difficulty, when you share a document when you invite someone to view your photo album on Flickr, they still have to sign in using the Flickr account to get to it. So it's not a new concept. People do this today. Mm-hmm. So yes, I understand there is a definite drop-off when we ask people to sign in. But if you really want authenticated users and you want to keep track of them, I think it's a worth trade-off.
Okay. Thank you.
What about the limitations on item-level security if you have a lot of documents in a document library?
Sorry, your question is?
There are some limitations on item-level security, which possibly is the feature that we're using and sharing separate several documents in a document library. Are there some changes on that?
So, in terms of limitations, what do you really, what are you really pointing at?
The number of documents in a document library.
All right. So, back in 2007, I think you're talking about the performance limitations that you have when a lot of documents in a document library have broken inheritance, right? So, back in 2007, the guidance that we had was you can have 1,000 documents in a document library with broken inheritance and it will work fine till then. If you have more than that, then the performance degrades exponentially. In 2007 to 2010, between then, we actually did work to improve the performance characteristics. And in 2010, you can have 5,000 different uniquely permissioned documents in a document library and performance does not degrade. After 5,000, performance degrades linearly and not exponentially. So there were significant improvements made between 2007 and 2010. Since then, we haven't really made any further improvements to make it any better. But we think it's not actually a very common scenario for us to break inheritance. In most of the cases, in team sites, people already have access to the documents. So we don't really have to break inheritance and give them access on the documents.
Okay.
So since it's a rare scenario for us to break inheritance, and 5,000 seems like a reasonable large number of documents in a document library, we think we are fine here.
Okay. Thanks.
So I just want to make sure I understood the first redeemer for an externally shared document. If I send a link out to an I want it authenticated externally, and he forwards that to somebody, and they come in first before me, are they the redeemer?
They will redeem it, and you won't be able to redeem it afterwards.
Okay.
That's why you shouldn't forward it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so if I want to share something externally, though, that person I can't take. You can't share that. You know, don't tell them to forward it. They're going to forward it if they want to.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
With the current SharePoint 2010 security setup, mixed groups and individual access provided, and also the access levels, how does that translate when we migrate, or sorry, when we upgrade to 2013?
So if you have custom groups and custom access levels created in SharePoint 2010, they'll continue to work. I answered the question earlier that it's SharePoint. You can create custom groups. You can create custom permission levels. You can change the permission levels definitions that we have. So yeah, they will upgrade fine. I don't see any problem there.
Okay.
So let's just take an example. If you have changed the definition, changed the permissions that a members group has for a site, after upgrade, the new members group will still have the permissions that you've assigned to it. And that will be the default when you share. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Sorry. We have a customer, a client that has a requirement that in the people pick a customer A cannot see customer B, so they're very paranoid about inviting multiple external users from company A and company B, and then when they go to the people picker, being able to see the other customers or the other clients. Is there a way to tie down the people picker or prevent people from seeing other customers or external entities in the people picker?
You still have, so although we introduced a new experience for the people picker, it's still configurable in the same way as it was before. So if you want to scope out certain sets of users, scope a people picker only to like a certain group, then you can do that. In terms of actually scoping out external users.
So external users, you can turn off external user access and it'll be turned, you won't be able to resolve them. But I think your question was, it's company A and company B. You want company A employees to only see company A employees and company B employees to only see company B employees.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Jeremy, I'm going to take help here. Do you know if this is possible?
Yeah.
Yeah, so one way to do it, we don't really have a direct answer for it, but one way to do it would be have different site collections for company A and company B, and then you can define the people picker to, you can configure the people picker to go against the user info list of site collection instead of going at the directory. And then you will, in site collection A, you will only see members of site collection A, in site collection B, you will see members of site collection B.
Oh, so the only way is to have separate site collections?
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a talk, I think we should show some related talks coming up. So there's also a talk tomorrow that's going to get into details of claims and SAML, and your scenario is most likely a SAML scenario. You may want to attend that talk, and you'll may get a better answer there.
Thank you.
So you mentioned earlier that if I email a site link to someone and they don't have permission, they get this new request to access. I assume the same is true for a document they don't have access to? A single document?
Yes. So the access request feature works for sites and documents. It actually also works for lists.
And can you create subfolders in SkyDrive?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can.
But can you, sorry, go ahead.
And you can share individual folders. So if I wanted to have a folder that was shared with certain people, I could do that. And any documents that I drag into that folder will have, by default, will have the permissions that you set on the folder.
And where do they see that folder? In their SkyDrive or?
No, so you can actually, so if I went right now to someone else's SkyDrive, I would see whatever folders I have permissions to. So if I have permissions to, the shared with everyone folder, for example, I'll see that. If I go to someone else's SkyDrive, SkyDrive Pro, I'll see those. But individual, if for some reason you have a document and it's underneath some folders, but the folders aren't shared, I believe you won't see the folders. But
you'd probably just have to find the email that.
Yeah, you'd have to have the link to the document.
Yeah, as I said, like this is finding all the documents or folders that I've shared with me. Is a problem that we haven't solved yet.
Yeah.
We're looking at it.
A good way to do this, a best practice would be to say if you have a document that's shared with you that's important, we recommend following it. And that way you'll get updates in the news feed that say, hey, someone updated this document. And it'll also bookmark it in your SkyDrive Pro. So you can go to SkyDrive Pro and click Follow Documents, which is on the left side of the page. And then you'll see a bookmark of all your follow documents. Yeah. And that's a really easy way to get to the documents you care about.
In fact, to enable that scenario, whenever you get a mail that's something shared with you, that email has a link to follow that site or document right there in place. So you can follow the document and you'll have an aggregated view of everything that's shared with you.
Got it. Thank you.
We'll take one last question in the interest of time. We are almost over. So.
Yeah, just to double check. So on SharePoint 2013, the old My Documents, I assume, is now being renamed SkyDrive Pro. Even on on-premise SharePoint 2013, correct?
Not exactly. So. In the old My sites in 2010, you had two libraries. You had a personal documents library and you had a shared documents library. So when you upgrade to SharePoint 2013, we actually create a new library, a brand new library called Documents. And we give the user a choice to move his documents from his old libraries into this new library. If the user opts in, we move all his documents in personal documents into the root of the new library. And all the documents that were in his shared documents to the shared with everyone folder that's there in the new library.
So
it's a different library.
But you also call it SkyDrive Pro for
on-premise? We call it SkyDrive Pro.
Now, in that, you cannot share with the external users.
If you're on-prem, you can't share with external users. If you are in SharePoint Online, and if your administrators have allowed you to share with external users, then you can share with external users.
But not on-premise.
On-prem, external users sharing does not work.
Thank you.
I mean, it's not supported. I think that's it. We'll be around. So if you have any more questions, you can find us. But otherwise, thanks a lot.